Beyond. Everyone, welcome to this week's edition of Beyond 3D. We're in December 2015, getting ready for the Christmas holidays. Everyone is in a good mood. Everyone is out there doing the things that they want to do and actually acting nice to one another. So it's a great time of the year. What do you think, Clint?
I'm not.
You're not happy?
No, I'm not happy.
Oh, wait a minute. No, look, I know why.
No. I'm actually going to talk about something totally different today.
Okay, very good.
Hello, everybody. Welcome this week to Beyond 3D. It's nice to be back, Matt.
Yeah, it's absolutely nice to be back. I love this stuff.
Last week
was
an off week.
An off week, okay.
It was an off week, and I say it was an off week because lots of different people that I know all had off weeks. So pretty much in a nutshell, that they were not themselves.
That's a good way of putting it.
Balanced.
Yeah.
Out of character.
Oh, well, being that you mentioned that, I can bring up this little tidbit of a story. Your friends were off, so were some of mine. And it's really interesting what the energies that go to going around at this point in time. I'm trying to keep it as positive as possible, but people are going through a lot of interesting stuff.
There is. I had a friend who savaged me over the telephone,
mm-hmm.
and very uncharacteristic for him to do so.
Right.
And, you know, him and I are all good, but mm-hmm. I knew something was not quite right. And it wasn't just him. It was a whole pool of people that I know, all from different backgrounds, all from different social circles,
mm-hmm.
all of them off.
Wow.
All of them not balanced, not themselves. It was a very, very, a lot of dark energy around last week, I noticed.
Mm.
So, yeah. But that week has been and gone.
Yeah.
It's a new day today. I haven't been too out of sorts myself. I'm coming back to good,
mm-hmm.
but I've noticed that there's been a real unusual energy around.
Mm.
So
there has, and I've noticed it as well. But I think with the people, I've noticed it more in the physical, not more in the mental and the anguish and the stress coming out of the body, but actually manifesting physically, as in stubbing your toe, blood everywhere. That happened to myself.
My daughter did that, and then
my daughter's friend broke her toe, and then one of our fellow presenters came in and broke. They had broken their toe as well. So it's that kind of energy is going around too.
I do that every day.
Okay, well, yeah. It's just weird, but you're right about that. But that's why for me the Christmas holiday, it's more about the positives and bringing in the positive energy.
What have you been looking at this week, Matt?
Oh, quite frankly, I've just been hearing everything about the certain movie that we'll ultimately end up talking about. So it's been a movie kind of a week, getting ready for the holidays down here. For all the guys up in the Northern Hemisphere, yes, it can get to 110 degrees on certain days down here for Christmas. So we have the exact opposite of what I'm normally used to going back up to the States and into New York. So it's an interesting time of year here. I think the first time I had 40 degree Christmas had to be at least 13 or 14 years ago down here,
mm-hmm.
easily. And now, yeah, you're right. It's picking up again. Adelaide just went through 4 days over 40.
Sorry. You need to call it Rad-Alaide.
Rad-Alaide?
Rad-Alaide.
They just went through...
you gotta put
Four 40 degree plus days. That's harsh.
Let's put some glitter on it and call it Rad-Alaide.
But no, haven't looked at too many things. We did see that Art Bell retired again this past week, which is a shame, what they're going through over there. And a lot of people are being, you know, commiserating, condolences and that kind of thing for him giving up his radio show again. And some people are just saying it's more in his head than anything else. And that
is it?
They're trying to say, I've heard a few arguments about the fact that it was the fact he wasn't getting the numbers he thought he would get, so he's deciding to pull the pin. I don't think so.
Well,
it doesn't strike me as being that kind of a person.
Is there not a real police report that somebody did shoot him?
Yeah. There is, and so you can take that into consideration. And when you have a family and you have young kids and things like that, absolutely, you want to make sure they're protected. But as we were saying a little bit earlier off air, I would just basically go to Baja, go someplace else, and broadcast from there.
Well, his family are from the Philippines, so
yeah,
he's
so
probably
he could
better
actually
off
even go there as well.
Moving to Manila.
Do that and setting up a network there and broadcast from Asia. It's not that hard of a thing to do these days, especially with streaming and everything like that. Easy to do.
Now, this week, I decided to stay as far away from CERN as possible.
Yep.
And that was almost impossible because a lot of information came out this week. And I don't want to touch on it, but there's big stuff happening at CERN, Matt, at the
moment.
Then
you need to, based on what you've said, you need to touch on it. So go for broke.
Look, initially it was designed to find the God particle.
Mm-hmm.
They've done that. They've right. been and done that already. Now, I've seen everything from extra dimensions opened up to portals, spiral portals in the sky. Last week, there was rumors that CERN not just was shut down, but there was an explosion. If you were to go onto YouTube and have a look at all the different clips that are posted there about CERN, I can just read a couple to you. CERN connected to other dimensions and made contact using 40 Tesla electron volts. CERN is now permanently shut down by accidental explosion. CERN scientists warn demonic spirits and mysterious deaths happening at CERN. CERN new power levels 1,000 Tesla electron volts, the interdimensional army. Now, there's nothing here, Matt, on YouTube in regards to CERN being a scientific facility that is doing specific scientific tests. There is no specific information about CERN. Yet I can find lots of information from whistleblowers and people who are making pretty big claims about things that are happening there that are far beyond our pay grade and our understanding of what's possible and what's impossible. I mean, you go back 40 years ago, what we called impossible is now possible. Somebody FaceTimed me the other day for the first time. I've never used FaceTime on my iPhone. And I went from laughing and looking at them on my phone and having a real-time conversation, and probably in the first 10 seconds I stopped focusing on who was on the phone and started marveling at the technology in my hands that did not exist, or we had no understanding of how it would work 40 years ago.
Right.
Who knows what CERN's doing? We have no idea. We go looking for information.
Something you might want to see, because I just brought this up, and bring up the title for you. Scientists have found a huge new Higgs boson. CERN may have discovered tantalizing signs of a mysterious particle.
That's incredible. That's fantastic. Physicists spotted unexpected spikes in the data from two Large Hadron Collider detectors. If confirmed, suggests presence of a particle created in proton collisions. One theory is that the particle is graviton, and its discovered could reveal the existence of extra dimensions of space-time. Matt, you just went too far.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Now, that's on the Australian Daily Mail. So when they're saying that one theory is that the particle is graviton and its discovered could reveal the existence of extra dimensions of space-time, if the media is throwing those terms around and using that... you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Yep.
If they're throwing around the terms like extra dimensions and space-time, and that's being presented as normal in the media, let's strip that back a little bit more and go as far as saying that this information is being drip-fed to the media, so it's drip-fed to us. I would say that they are at least further down the line than what we're being told. But if you want to go out and find as much information as possible as you want about you on CERN and the Large Hadron Collider, just jump onto YouTube. You'll struggle to find anything that makes sense, and you'll struggle to find anything that is based in science, which is even more amazing considering what it is and the amount of people that work on it. But besides that, in regards to CERN, I did a little bit of... digging in regards to self-healing.
Okay.
I came across a gentleman by the name of Terence McKenna. Now, if you don't know anything about Terence McKenna, he is to the plant world what Jacques Cousteau was to the ocean. Terence McKenna is big on using psilocybin drugs found in plants and in nature to help heal people with post-traumatic stress disorder and schizophrenia and those type of mental illnesses.
Right.
Very interesting thing was that he held up a lecture, and somebody in the lecture asked him, because Terence McKenna uses a lot of LSD and a lot of mushrooms, somebody asked him at one of his own lectures, Have you ever thought about asking the plants how to solve the problems that we face on this world? And he actually thought that this gentleman in this lecture was having a lend of him at the time.
Right.
But he went away and he processed what, how that made him feel and what he was thinking about that. And he had a mushroom trip. He went on a mushroom trip, and he quite regularly goes on these mushroom trips. And he decided to have a conversation with the plant life and the mushrooms and how, what they thought their opinion was on how mankind could fix the problems of the planet. And I watched this interview and I took it on face value and I thought, well, where's this going? What kind of information could these plants give him? And it was very, very insightful that the plants came back to him and said, a woman should only have one natural child. Now, a Western child uses X amount of energy. It's not the children that come from impoverished families in New Delhi where they have five, six, seven brothers and sisters. They're not the people that are putting the strain on the natural resources. These five or six or seven children in this family in New Delhi wouldn't use a quarter of the amount of energy that a Western child would use with their iPods, their TVs, their processed food. And he basically said it's not... The plants told him it's not the people in the West, in the third world, that are the problem. They're not the strain on the system. It's the children, it's the Western families that have three or four children that all have three or four iPods, three or four televisions, three or four. It's endless, Matt. The amount of resources that, a traditional Western family powers through compared to... somebody from a low socioeconomic background or in an impoverished country on the other side of the planet. So he went away and thought about this and he thought, you know what, it's actually right, because a parent in the Western world, if they only had one child, that's only so much extra money that they have to find. It's only so many extra hours they have to work. And it's in ratio, if you scale back your child or the amount of children that you have, you also scale back the amount of hours you have to work and scale back... the amount of money you have to find. He basically said one natural birth per couple, and that would drastically reduce the world population by half, I think he said, inside 30 years. So it was very very interesting going and looking for something different this week that didn't involve some kind of government conspiracy or CERN.
Well, it could. It actually could involve a government conspiracy if you look at the Chinese one-child policy that was in place for all those years.
Yes.
But then again, when you look in that, when you look at it from that perspective, maybe there was some method to the madness. The planet is huge. The resources that we use, as you said, when you have that, when you take that argument from Terence McKenna, that's the fact. If every one person were responsible and did it a certain way, maybe that's the thing. But then what'll happen is you'll get a person that can have something like that that's profound, and they'll come up with something that they get from whether it's a DMT experience or what have you, and they get some profound information, but because of the way that information was received, mainstream media, mainstream science will shun that person and shun that information because of the way it was received. If it's not done on their terms, they don't want to accept it, which is a shame, because the information could be valid and could actually help.
But it is a wonderful time to be alive at the moment. I mean, there's a lot of science fiction narrative being pumped through into the mainstream society at the moment.
And a lot of people think that's because they're getting ready for Disclosure.
Yes, definitely.
I don't believe that.
I reckon we'll see it in our lifetime, Matt, but I don't reckon we'll see it anytime soon.
Look...
And I don't believe it'll be a open government that's very forthcoming either.
If the government was going to do it, they would have done it a long time ago. It's not that. It's the fact that the government and the people that run, that are basically working for government, are controlled by corporations, and if the corporations don't want it to come out, it's not going to come out.
Paul Hellyer, the Minister for Defence
from Canada,
came out.
Yeah.
And he had full disclosure on behalf of the Canadian government. And then it all went away. Yeah.
Because they don't want people understanding what's truly going on out there. But what'll happen is, it's like everything else. The dynamics will change, people will accept it, and the government will just go along with that. Governments will go along with the fact that people are accepting this now, and slowly but surely things will be released. And that's just the way it's going to work. There's no other way for it to work because they're never going to admit that they covered anything up in the first place.
It's a wonderful time to be alive at the moment, Matt. There's a lot going on in the world that Joe Average isn't privy to.
Oh, but when you find out the little tidbits, you
when
just
you
want
find
more
it all out,
more
it's
more
a
more.
Magical, magical place to be. Yeah. And somebody else who loves life, Dr. Richard Allen Miller.
Ah, yes.
Dr. Miller, we're lucky enough to have you today for the third and final time this year. What do you think about life and magic?
Well, magic is what I'm really about. Most people have always interviewed me as a physicist or a Jungian psychotherapist or a medical doctor, which I'm all. But really, before any of it, I'm a magician. And not only am I a master magician, possibly, stay tuned, I might be Dr. Strange, master of the mystic arts. When I was taught at AOL and was at Harvard, I was Dr. Ram at MagicNet. And Magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, stood for Medford, Ashland, Grants Pass, Illinois Valley, Cave Junction, Klamath Falls, Illinois Valley, M-A-I-G-C-K. Yeah, that, the state of Jefferson, the free state of Jefferson. Everything is in metaphor. And I'm trying to write like Crowley, where all my books will be in, they'll be in encode with 7 octaves and a chord. 7 chords and an octave, excuse me. 7 chords and an octave, Fibonacci. I use that as a filing system. That means when I don't know what something is, I can break it down in metaphor and know precisely where to file it. That is called the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation, relating sound to words.
Do you use solfeggios in your work at all, Richard?
Did I use what?
Solfeggios. The different noise frequencies?
Oh, yeah, you mean, is that 446 or 448?
Yeah, 576, all that type of stuff. I know a lot of people use solfeggios with their meditation.
I work drum physics. Sound has many different levels to it, as Pythagoras used to lay it out. That's where our whole concept came from, was the mathematics of Pythagoras. There is a real person in history. I would love to be someone like that left a mark that, encoded everything in terms of, he's the one that came up with Bratislav. There are 14 different ways matter can form on itself in geometry, called the Bratislav lattices. And the one I have spent a lot of time with out of Merkaba mysticism had to do with the Necker cube of space and the diamond body. The idea of certain geometries envisioned in your mind's eye will cause resonance in the brain to release in concert specific neurotransmitters, and now you have precisely what was called Ezekiel's vision and the throne chariot of God. You have a time machine, a spaceship, that will physically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually move you to another place. When you do certain geometry, sacred geometries, in your mind's eye, it sets up resonances with glial cell. You get a resonant cavity oscillation thing going on that will release specific transmitters. The one I wrote about a long time ago is called the biological function of the third eye. And the chill that's going up and down your body is a bunch of little cilia that are sticking out that are sending up an electromagnetic signal, either up or down your body. That's Sri Aurobindo and Gopi Krishna, one going up, one going down. The thing that's most interesting is that electromagnetic bandwidth happens to be in a very specific narrow bandwidth called visible light. And if you do it just right, at the base of the skull is the pineal gland that is a light-sensitive organ to regulate body changes for seasonal changes. It has atrophied over the years because of our use of light and our artificial light as opposed to what's happening with seasonal changes and things like that. When the seasons changed and the light changed, the body regulated, changed for seasonal changes, preparing you for winter or summer. And when it atrophied, it was no longer light sensitive. By focusing that light beam up your body, the chill, and having your skull in a certain position, what happens next is that you set up that light sensitive organ, and it's right next to the neural cavity, and that's a resonant cavity oscillator. It's a hole, it's a tube with a thalamus at the other end of it. And guess what happens next when you set up that stimulation? You can now, at any age, generate true nerve tissue rather than simple glial cell. You'll need a nutrient diet of blue-green algae and some other things that are trace minerals that you need to get up past the blood-brain barrier. You can do that with neuropeptides, and they will take those trace minerals up there. And now, I did this in a technical paper with Robert O. Becker, where I was able to regenerate a severed peroneal down at my knee. I had my knee crushed by an automobile going into a brick wall, and it was crushed, and I had drop foot. It took me 4 months to generate true nerve tissue using this technique of visualization and eating special diets that took, nerve tissue has the viscosity of, kind of like very viscous, takes very slow, sticky fluid, and it's by gravity that it will go down the central nervous system, and it took about 4 months to get down to the knee. That's the viscosity. You can do exercises like jumping on a little tandem or a trampoline or something, but jumping will help move that by gravity down to the knee, and within 4 months I had complete regeneration of my nerve. You can do that with visualization exercises and specific diets oriented toward giving you the titanium needed to build an aircraft that could be that strong and still fly at the faster than the speed of sound. That's titanium. So, it's these are things that are available to us. It's conscious awarenesses of body repair. You can do almost anything. There is an interesting word, Dean, is a biological aging mechanism. He is the Surgeon General for the Marines, and he has this book out called The Biological Aging Mechanisms, Clinical Approach. His whole book is about the various ways we measure aging at different universities across the world. And the conclusion at the end of his book is every single way we measure aging is reversible. That means, what age do you want to be? Is now potentially available with visualization exercises. And that's Ward Dean the Surgeon General for the Marine Corps saying that.
I can totally understand that. I was, as you were saying that, I'm going back over the different things I've learned over the years. You mentioned the diamond body. I know the meditative techniques for that. I'll put it this way. You'd be familiar with the energy centers in the body, the chakra system. What we found in the studies we did out of the Philippines was that if it's all about chakral integration, becoming an integrated being, and if you learn the techniques and actually start integrating certain combinations of the chakras, it builds that diamond body. Have you heard anything along those lines?
Oh, you mean, did I do the studies with Tony Agpala?
There you go.
Psychic surgery. I had Ward. We did that at the University of Washington. We brought Tony Agpala into the medical center at the University of Washington. We sewed up a bunch of sutures inside a primate, and then we had a ring of doctors watching Tony Agpala attempt to remove the surgeons from the body. Now, he wasn't able to do it, but he sure pulled out a bunch of weird-looking sarcoma. I had no idea what it was. It's like plastic or something. And psychic surgery, that was written up, by the way, in National Observer, the Dow Jones National Observer, not the tabloid. The National Observer did a big thing on psychic surgery. Carl Motte, Dean of Pathology. We had an individual, Mary Baker Eddy, had a husband that was dying of cancer. And you probably heard of Mary Baker Eddy.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband was dying. We had diagnosis at the UW on what he was dying of. Sent him to the Philippines. And he came back, cancer had been removed. He later died of cancer, but not that cancer. And Wood, the dean of pathology, certified something paranormal was going on here. That's why we brought Ben Pag Power over to study him in the laboratory. It is the human mind trying to grasp something it cannot understand, and so it does it by hallucination. And that's why we make a distinction on clairaudience, clairascension, and clairvoyance, or precognition and retrognition. Mm-hmm. Events in the past, events in the future. Time and space are illusions, and how the mind can grasp that into consciousness is normally in one of the five senses. Oh, wait. Alan Frey discovered another sensory motor input in the 0.3 to 3 gigahertz. That's in a microwave band with tempo lobes. That's called synthetic telepathy, where you can, through a microwave band, talk directly to the brain and heterodyne voices inside someone's head. Son of Sam, wow, now we have a weapon for all kinds of purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is the first weapon now being deployed in any kind of conflict or war. Before any ordnance is drawn, any aircraft is done, any ordnance is used, Commander Solo is used first. It's a single aircraft with a bunch of computers in it, heterodyning, and what is called cloning of emotions. And that means we have now, with brain fingerprinting and P300 waves, can super heterodyne depression and all kinds of things. They were going to try to use HARP that way when they started up in Alaska, and then they put the other one down there in Perth. Not Perth. Where was it? Where was it? In the central Adelaide area.
Pine Gap.
What did you call it?
Pine Gap.
Yes, there you go. That's where the second array went. In our first attempt to try to do a mass control of mind control, didn't work. But it isn't like they didn't try, like a dog. You know, can it lick its balls? Well, why does it lick its balls?
Because it can.
Yeah. You know, that's military consciousness for you. There's all kinds of things you could have used. The scientific telepathy. How about the deaf, where they can hear voices in their head from now on, and, you know, little devices. There's all kinds of directions. The primary use of synthetic telepathy now is a new sense, is that through all surveillance, microwave. Mm. And, you know, like in the movie The Siege, they're military. They always get the big toys. That's, you know, with Denzel Washington and all that movie. Yeah, so I don't know, but I'm going to assume there are all kinds of awarenesses that we haven't even begun to catalog. Our primary now, mostly for all of us, is visual. This will be audio, unless you add a movie part to it that gives imaging or 1,000 words every picture, you know, that kind of thing. Right. That's why I like video. There's possibilities here in the way you can communicate. There is something else going on in the way I structure my words, and that's one of the reasons why everybody gets me.
Beyond.
I'm trying to use some skill techniques and things that I've done, training, you know, super soldiers, SEALs, whatever, trying to integrate that into my daily life. And it all starts, you try to work from the moment. You're not really thinking about what you're doing before you do it. You are in the poetry of emotion.
Richard, I'd actually go as far as saying that people get you because you resonate a truth.
That's a good way of putting
it. Well, stay tuned on that. Well, how did Castaneda put that? The tonal and the nagual. Reality is that which cannot be known. All you can do is tonal. And that is the world of illusion. That's why all your Eastern religions call it Kal, K-A-L. The world of the material world. It's not real.
That's interesting.
It's real.
Richard,
it's your imagination.
Richard, can you spell that again?
K-A-L?
That's Superman's first name.
Imagine that! And John Rawl and his advanced systems down below. Little greeting from little Buddha.
There you go.
Yeah. I know I don't know. I know I probably in this particular life won't ever really know. But what I am doing is making daily discovery, and therein lies the joy of what is called the moment. That is where real time travel occurs. My future of choice is talking to me now, at this very moment, and I am literally changing my past. And most everybody is going to get that, because at the moment, which is every moment, at the time I was doing it, Navy SEALs didn't exist. It was SEAL Corporation. I've said that before. There it is again. I want you to understand that concept. It's the moment where the energy lies, and the past is the primary wave, not the future. The future has timelines and all kinds of singularities that can be blown up or rejected and or multiplied, like a cavitation process where there is a black doppelganger of me on the other side. That'll be next century's physics. The cavitation and the hollow earth. And in fact, everything is going into the out of. That's Alan Dean Foster, who wrote Star Wars. He's a good science fiction writer.
That
he has
book,
a book called Into the Out of.
That book.
That's worth a read.
Sorry, Richard, that book you were talking about, Alan Dean Foster, is actually called Splinter of the Mind's Eye, isn't it? I read that when I was very young.
Maori and all the down under stuff going on. Yes, he did. That's another book he has, Maori. Alan Dean Foster. He lives here just down the street here in Ashland. So, yeah.
Of course. Of course he does.
Of course. That's the way it works.
Hey, Richard, I was talking to Matt the other week about CERN, and I did say to Matt I wasn't going to bring CERN up ever again. But the reason I was talking about CERN.
I'm not kidding. When you see scientists doing ghost dance on the platform of CERN, what's that all about?
Well, the question is, what did they find?
Biblical prophecy. It's not going to work. A singularity is kind of like when we first started detonating nuclear weapons in the atmosphere. Are we going to create a firestorm? Are we going to create a black hole that the Earth is sucked into the out of? Possibly.
The reason I mentioned it, Richard.
We've already done it.
The reason I mentioned it, Richard, was because there's been a lot of talk around portals and time travel with CERN. Now, I know when HARP first came out, nobody actually understood what it did, and people still don't know exactly what it does. And it's like CERN's replaced HARP.
Yeah, conspiracy. It's going to be one of those layers that, who knows, there's always somebody fanatical trying to run through a wall or stare at a goat. Unfortunately, the long goat died, but they still believed that they were killing it by staring at it. Minister goats. Good luck with that. It's imagination that's real. And once you get that part, now you can rewrite the movie.
Yep.
And that's why the brain is seen correctly as an amorphous semiconductor, liquid crystal phases. It's changing at any given moment, which means it's a four-dimensional hologram of five space. And what is five space? Sliders. All the different options of what color your hair want to be. Change it with a single change in the intent. And the subtlety of one to the other is where Jet Li does a movie called The One. That's an interesting movie in terms of having to battle all his other selves for their chi. Whatever.
Yeah, it's energy. Chi. Yeah, it's chi. I've seen that movie, Richard. Yeah, he does have to battle himself to it's almost like reaching an enlightenment, isn't it?
Metaphor. No matter where you go,
there you are.
That's another Melbourne joke.
It is.
Road Warriors Part 12.
Yeah.
And the feral children. I love Australian humor because all of you guys came from a bunch of criminals. originally. That's your gene pool. It's wonderful. I'm just kidding. Well, you gotta love the Australian humor of things. By the way, I can't believe it. And worse, the humor is the path that connects the hermit and the lovers and goes right through the Sea of Quranza, the abyss. Also, in the center of that is Doth. Doth is the missing Sephiroth, D-A-A-T-H, the missing Sephiroth. It's knowledge through wisdom. And it's, I don't know if I gave you this metaphor before, but if we were playing Follow the Leader, and I ran down a hill and you ran down a hill, and I came to the roaring river, and without hesitation, I leaped out into the center of it and touched on a rock you didn't even see under the water and leaped over to the other side laughing. That rock is Doth. The chaos of the sea going through and the sanctuary slightly under it. Knowledge through wisdom. And knowledge is only temporary. It's a brief moment. When you touch on the rock and leap over to the other side, you can't stand on the rock. You can't stay in Doth. You have to use it as a transition, going directly from Christ consciousness to God consciousness. And how you can do it while remaining alive and not having to go through death. That path is called Path 13 and crosses humor. And why I have added humor into everything I do. You gotta laugh your way out of this, gentlemen. There's no other way out. Well, you know, no, I'm not in this bed with this woman. Not me. No, I'm not here. Now you're kidding. The big picture.
Breathe, breathe, breathe.
Deniability. That's the way I like to play it.
I love it.
So, are we good? Do you want to do another segment? What do you want to do?
We are good.
We're good, Richard. If there's anything you wish to promote right now, you have absolutely carte blanche.
Well, I'm doing a thing called the Caterpillar. It's a this Saturday. I'm going out to Pacifica Gardens in Williams. This is the old Stevie Guitar Miller's estate in Southern Oregon. It's 2,000 acres with ponds and lakes and this and that and everything. And it's all now purchased as a non-corporation. It's a 501c3 around educating children like Waldorf. It's not going to be Waldorf. It's not going to be Steiner. It's going to be Rick Miller, I hope. And I've got a similar project going off in Africa. And the first thing I'm going to do is the Caterpillar, which is a big bus, traveling science laboratory. And what I plan to do is get rid of all the entomology and bug things in it, which is interesting. But what the children need to learn first is survival. And so I'm going to teach basic children basically how to identify if water is safe to drink or not. And once they get that, then what's wrong with the water and how can they possibly fix it? And we'll start with filtration concepts and activated charcoal and go uphill from there in terms of how to remove arsenic and other kinds of possible ways of potting water at certain altitudes and things like that. Water is, the way I try to do it in survival workshops, I say 3 minutes for air, 3 days for water, and 3 weeks for food. What's your priority? So there are, unfortunately, aerosols being used in geoengineering now that cannot be filtered. They're in nanometer particle form, and so they go through anything. And in fact, they just fall and go right through the skin, wherever it is, including the brain, nanometer. That's what that's all about. That's a creepy, creepy place. And they're trying to hijack our air today like they are our water. It may privatize it, that kind of thing. And what I'm going to do with children is start them with water, and then we're going to work with identification of what's the soil and what's in it and what they can use to make things grow in that kind of soil. And I've got some great concepts of mycorrhizia and how there's always in a given forest a mother tree that sets up the network of communication to all the living plants, plural, habitat around her. And just like in Avatar, the movie, that is the University of British Columbia, a full professor in forestry talking about how the trees talk to each other. And it's not, it's sort of kind of based on some of the old work from Baxter, but his stuff is not as valid. I think Marcel Vogel and Targ are talking about the 80s work on that. We did that studies in the 70s and discovered some pheromone and those kinds of concepts for more complex dialogue talking and interfacing from one subset to another. And Michael Rizzio, let's say, talking to mycelium and then larger soil organisms like nematode, and how that communication of information is dialoguing. And we're in the habitat as a human and have our own universe inside ourselves. Isn't it amazing that everything that you eat becomes you? That's a good way of calling it self-organizing. And Turing is a little different testing, but I'm going to suggest there's way more going on the nature of life and the difference between animate and inanimate and the concept of soul and purpose.
Fantastic. Now, Richard, as far as your websites are concerned, let's give the people some places that they can get on the net and basically find your work. So what's your main website?
My primary website is richardallenmiller.com, A-L-A-N. RichardAllenMiller.com. I have a secondary blog site that's reflected on that site at Facebook called DocRam.com, DocRam for Richard Allen Miller, DocRam.com. I have other websites that are going to get enhanced big time. One of them is called HerbFarmInfo.com, of which there are three PDFs, of which I have 360 I'm about ready to upload. On agriculture, and you can see how to set up a processing facility, how to get started, how to grow echinacea, how to grow comfrey. Comfrey will be your solar alcohol. That is the highest biomass yield in the world, and once you have a comfrey field in, you have all the alcohol you will ever need to run any kind of gasoline engine. Conversion over from a high octane fuel or whatever, like my 280Z, is a very simple operation and running off alcohol.
Richard, what's it called again?
Which one?
What's it called again? The
comfrey.
Comfrey. Comfrey.
Yeah, it's Sympphytum. It's part of the Solianus family. It's taproot. Shit, the root goes down 18 feet at some point. It's making bedrock into topsoil.
Wow, so really?
It's a really good big plant. You can't get rid of it. Hogs or no water might take it out. But otherwise, it's there for the duration and will still more bricks of sugar and solar alcohol than any other crop, including Jerusalem artichoke or whatever. There are other things. You could be growing crops. You know, we're growing certain beans in the desert that we're making synthetic oils out of now that are, you know, for jet fuels. And so there's all kinds of crops, and I've been writing in alternative agriculture. That's another direction, and that is at nwbotanicals.org. That's for northwestbotanicals.org. All my agricultural stuff is there, and there's all a bazillion downloads on farming, including I have one PDF that's on the ethics of marketing. Not about marketing, but the ethics of it, where you have choice. Why you want to sell something this way over that way, like barter. So there's options here. Let's see, another website. I have other websites. How about GoFundMe.com/Richard Allen Miller? That's for those of you that would like to see me go to press 10 new manuscripts that I don't have the money to do right now. That's what that website's about. And it's active. I've already, because of it, in the last 2 months, been able to go to press with three new manuscripts that I would not have otherwise been able to do. So,
well, get all your work.
Websites. You can find me everywhere on YouTube, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm doing video movies. And there's one out there I did with John B. Wells called The Day After Tomorrow. And it's mostly cartoons showing how we're all going at the day after tomorrow and the ice age that's about to happen. I have a new book I'm writing called Sustainable Lifeboats Within Gardens of Zen. How to bug in and how to bug out when you don't have any resources to do either.
Richard.
It's a mental attitude, how you can approach everything that's going on. Zombie land. Zombies are going to be East L.A. when they're out of food. Look at Black Friday.
Black Friday was insane. Richard, can I just...
This one woman get handcuffed for a $12 item that she was in a fist fight with, and even with her handcuffs on, they couldn't get the package away from her.
It was insane. I remember watching it on the news the other day, Richard.
This has become so bad, people don't realize that Thanksgiving is about when Blackbeard went in and did in a whole bunch of people, and then Boston had a Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Or what Blackbeard did. You know, Thanksgiving is not what you think it is, any more than Christmas now is about the birth of baby Jesus. The whole thing's nuts.
I watched the Black Friday.
It has absolutely nothing. It's Black Friday is the Super Bowl of retail.
I watched Black Friday, Richard, on TV, and my first thought was, if people will do this over an electrical appliance, what will they do to each other for water?
And or food, and or the first thing that they're going to go for you at will be your weapons and your drugs. And if you are on a pharmacy and the grid goes down, what are you going to do for your heart medicine? And that's why I'm writing about herbal pharmacies. And really, if you Casimir Battery, the guy that invented that, the real guy, not Keshi, by the way, is a fraud. This guy told me what he's doing. He chose not to go out there as free energy because they would close him down on the carbon dollar. Oh, man. So what he did is he made a battery charger. And all you have to do is step that battery charger up just four times, and you can power an individual home using Casimir Battery from Beneditti. And all of that is not so-called free energy. It's working with a new concept of energy, which is called static energy and membrane physics. Slightly different than Hawking's black hole, slightly different than Penrose's torus twister space. It is membrane physics, and how in quantum mechanics they called it quantum foam. It's not quantum foam. It goes back to Bessel functions and membranes and the way they rub against each other and transfer information from one membrane to the next. That's also part of the new book I'm writing called The Omega Principle, the energy that patterns randomness. And we've had names for it all through history, from Oregon on down to Qi. But it is an energy that is outside space-time and is a more direct or higher form of what we call kinetic and potential energy. And now we're talking about it being static. It has nothing to do with zero point and hydrogen resonances in the universe. This is a whole new concept, and the physics is simple, and it'll come out as fractal membrane physics. Watch and see how this all plays. The structuring in water is the very beginning of this. And the work that's happening with Roy Rustam at Penn State in homeopathy is exemplary and led then to Mark Lucero's work at MIT in physics with cavitation processes and Jerry Pollack at the university with the fourth phase of water. All of this started with Mei Wen Ho and her book, her most important book, called The Rainbow and the Worm. And if you want to read about microtubule and the way epigenetics is augmenting genetic physics, this is where you start. Neo-Darwinism is having a heart attack on this stuff. Let them. They have no clue. And they're old school, and what's happening is so very exciting out there right now. I can't wait to see what's discovered next. And this is the new physics that's happening. It's excellent. It's for me, a joy to be part of it.
That's fantastic.
I'm madly writing notes. I'm madly writing notes.
I'm having fun with you. I'm just messing with you.
Richard, we are so grateful for the time you've given us. Now we'll let you get out and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, I've got more miles to go before I sleep. I know that song. This is Dr. Richard Allen Miller for Beyond 3D Radio.
How good is he? He's
That's
awesome.
You can get a dozen of us to do it. Now you've got a little tool or asset.
Hey, we have been, Richard, and you're going to join fine company like
absolutely,
like Mary Rodwell and we'll some other people.
Mary Rodwell, I got to meet her a couple times. She's hot. I like her.
She's hot.
She's
hot.
No, she's good people. That's the main thing.
Yeah, really she's good interesting. People. I like her. You know, there is so much disinformation and opinion out there that separating the chef from the gold is a chore. It's very difficult. And really, how I work now is I work from my gut.
Beyond.
I love him so much.
Oh, that's just the information. I just can't get over that still. That
I love him.
Absolutely
so.
Fantastic.
And Dr. Miller, if you still happen to be listening, thank you so much for being so incredibly generous with your time over the last couple of weeks here at Beyond 3D. Matt and I have absolutely loved your time, and we know our listeners have as well.
Absolutely. Just fantastic information, and it gets people thinking, and that's what this show's about.
Anything else, Matt, before we finish up today?
Nope. Getting ready for the Christmas holidays, and we know our listeners are as well. So just take care of each other out there. Clint, you take care of yourself as well. We will make sure that we take care of you. We will be back next week with another edition of Beyond 3D.
Have a lovely break, everybody.
Just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.